Welcome to the InnovaBuzz podcast, where we share all kinds of tips, advice, and interview guests on all things innovation and leadership in modern marketing. Each episode is a conversation with inspiring people who make wonderful contributions to our knowledge in these areas and spark curiosity and ideas to pursue. Join me, Jürgen Strauss from InnovaBiz, and let's get into today's masterclass on this InnovaBuzz podcast.
The better thing to really aim for is like freedom to make choice with financial resources you have now or any resources you have now. How do you amplify that and make the most out of it? And then getting clear, again, going back to definitions of things that you truly value in life, because if you're clear about those things, then you can actually spend more time and more resources to have more of those things in your life. And then you don't need to be motivated to achieve your financial goals, because it's something that you value all the time. So motivation even becomes almost irrelevant.
Hi there, innovator. It's really great to be back with another episode. I hope you've had an awesome week so far. I trust that you enjoyed my recent conversations with Jane Bedell of Dovetail Resolutions and with Mike Payton of EOS Worldwide. I'm really excited to have on the InnovaBuzz podcast as my guest today, Vivian Goh. Vivian is the founder and financial wellness coach at Simple Wealth Coaching. She built financial knowledge and connections in the property, superannuation, and financial advice industries over a decade, and then realized that financial know-how is only part of a solution, not the whole solution to wealth creation. This led her to leave her financial advising license and found Simple Wealth Coaching. Her life mission is to help people improve their financial well-being through personalized coaching and unbiased financial guidance. A quick promotional message from our sponsor, InnovaBiz. We help coaches and consultants build professional credibility, engage their target audience, and connect with their ideal clients. Now, to help you get clarity about who your ideal client is and how you can communicate with them to build and strengthen an engaging, enduring relationship, take a look at our Marketing Master mini class, which you can access at innovabiz.co/marketingmaster. It's completely free and accessible without even giving away your email. In our discussion today, Vivian talked to me about some of the limiting beliefs we have about money and how they hinder our wealth growth. She described how asking really good questions can help you uncover what really motivates people. And she explained that we should consider money as a means of exchanging value rather than an entity of itself. Without further ado then, let's fly into the hive and get the buzz from Vivian Goh. Hi, I'm your host, Jürgen Strauss from InnovaBiz, and I'm really excited to welcome to the InnovaBuzz podcast today from Melbourne in Australia, Vivian Goh, who's the founder and financial wellness coach at Simple Wealth Coaching. Welcome to the podcast, Vivian. It's a great privilege to have you as my guest.
Hi, Jürgen, and hi, everyone else. Thanks for having me today. I'm really excited to be here.
Corey Wassell, who was our guest on episode 227 of the InnovaBuzz podcast, suggested that we have a conversation with you, Vivian. So big hello to Corey.
Hi, Corey.
Now, you have a background in finance like Corey does, having worked as a financial advisor, and now you've changed direction to provide personalized coaching and education around financial health and well-being. And you do that without necessarily recommending financial products directly. It's more about the total picture. So I'm really interested in exploring that change of direction you've made with you and how you help your clients a lot further today. But before we get on to all things finance and financial health and wealth growth, tell us a little bit about your background. How did you get to where you are today, and what were some of the big moments in that journey?
Yeah, sure, Hergen. Well, I guess to talk about my career in finance, I started by graduating from university in Monash here in Melbourne about 10 years ago. And I had a degree in banking and finance and accounting as well. But what I found was I actually knew very little about managing my own money. So I started working in a real estate company, learn about the property market, but find that I didn't quite enjoy the culture that I was in. And then I moved on to work in a superannuation fund as a consultant. Well, at that point, then I bumped into a financial advisor. And I didn't know that, you know, there's such a career that exists. And when I get to know a little bit more about what a financial advisor does, it sounds like something that I would really enjoy, because it was so much more personable. I get to, you know, get to know a client really well, what their life's like, and help them with their finances. So I basically then got my diploma, financial planning, graduate diploma done, and got a role as a financial advisor very quickly. And then I started, you know, helping a lot of clients with their finances and earning good money myself. But I still find that there was something that was missing. You know, apart from the knowledge and strategy point of view, there's still something that was missing. And I was then working with, you know, in one of the top financial advice firms in the last year or so, with a lot of clients, like doing great works. But what I found was that I spotted a lot of like unhealthy money beliefs that clients usually have that are actually causing their struggles and challenges. So money beliefs, when they are unhealthy, they are usually the underlying cause of the struggles that, you know, clients are experiencing. So things like, you know, even clients earn a good amount of money, there's still like constant fear of having not enough, not secure, or overspending to keep up with their social environment, or investing based on FOMO, like following the crowd, fear of missing out, things like that. Mm. So there were a lot of this underlying unhealthy money beliefs. And I found that the only way to get around it is really have really good coaching conversations with clients to uncover, you know, why are they holding on to those money beliefs? Where did they come from? And that's how I ventured into financial wellness coaching. And another thing, like a big pivot point, was also due to recent, changes that's happening with the Royal Commission. So financial advice has become more and more expensive. So due to the compliance costs, licensee costs, overhead costs, so everything is getting a little bit too expensive for clients that don't already have a lot of assets in place. You know, they're just you're starting out. You want some guidance around your finances, but your situation may not be overly complex. So financial advice might be too big of a jump for you. And this is something that I've been told by potential clients again and again in meetings, where they go, "I really love, you know, everything that you do. It sounds great. I'm going to get the coaching and guidance from you, but you know, the fees were just too expensive to start." So I basically had a review of how much of the help and changes, like the value that I can provide to my clients, how many percentage of that is actually coming from telling them, you know, this product or this strategy specifically is the one you need to go for versus my coaching. And I found that most of the transformation that clients were getting, 80% of them were actually coming from more of the coaching component, you know. So then, I guess that's what entrepreneurship is about, really, to, you know, listen and be fully present to what's really happening in the market, getting feedback and understanding what's the real problem out there and then offering a solution. So I founded my own business, Simple Wealth Coaching, July this year.
Okay. Well, that's fascinating. And like you say, you know, identifying gaps in the market and what clients are really looking for. But also the other thing you mentioned there along the way was not feeling comfortable or happy or fulfilled in some of the roles that you did pursue, and then you discovered coaching and really enjoy that by the sound of it. Now, what specifically is involved in coaching? What do you do with your clients, and, you know, why is that important?
Yeah. So coaching is really the a skill where it's allowing, creating a space for clients to be asked really, really good questions so that they get time to reflect on their common patterns. And if you find that if you look at your thoughts, there has been research done that, you know, by the age of 35, 95% of our thought patterns and emotions are the same as the day before. So there's a lot of similar thought patterns, especially when it comes to money, when it's such a taboo topic. A lot of the money beliefs that we have are actually either, you know, taught to us when we're since young, and a lot of people say by the age of 7, there's been research showing that, you know, your personality and your beliefs and your ideas, your perspective about the world has been formed mostly. And then also you might have experienced certain traumatized events in the past about money that would cause you to create some unhealthy money beliefs. So I'll give you an example of a client of mine that she found that she was constantly having this fear of she just doesn't have enough money. And that was causing, you know, stress in her relationship with her partner. And when we got into a coaching session, you know, after 30 minutes, after asking more and more questions and understanding where she's coming from, she realized that why she had this fear was because of her previous divorce and relationship. So she went through a divorce and it was a really nasty one. So then she held on to, you know, that belief that she needs to protect herself and protect every single penny she has. So she left and she was leaving in like a bit of like constant fear of not enough. So, and causing stress into her relationship as well. So that's one way to really shine the light on blind spots that you may not be aware of, and that's causing you, certain stress in your life.
That's fascinating. So basically what you're saying is that there's a whole lot more around what impacts on our attitudes and beliefs around money and how we come to wealth or not than just money or working hard or whatever it might be.
Oh, absolutely. Because at the end of the day, money is just a tool. It's, you know, it doesn't have emotions. There's no thoughts. Like if you talk to money, it just, you know, it doesn't really respond to you or anything. So to really master money well, that means we really need to look inwards and understand and understand ourselves even better. So money is a great tool to reflect, for us to reflect on how we are showing up.
So what are some of the common issues and beliefs and attitudes around money that have us kind of feel unfulfilled or feel as though we don't have enough money or feel as though we can't spend on certain things that we'd love to spend on?
Yeah, so there's a couple there that you just mentioned. Common ones, I guess I mentioned one of them that is, fear of not enough. And then there is also this, the fear of missing out or buying into the social condition of, investing a certain way, like buying an investment property is definitely the way to go. So I have clients that, initially engage me and successful coaches. For example, I had this successful coach that came to me earning great income, but when it comes to managing his money and planning for his future or making financial decisions, there's still a lot of uncertainty. And all he's heard, from his social environment is that, I just want to buy an investment property. But, after we really got into a deeper conversation in understanding his lifestyle, his values, and then set financial goals that are more aligned to his values, he realized that, investment property wasn't really what he wanted. So I think one of the things people get confused often as well is what is a financial goal and what's a financial strategy? Those are two very different things. Because financial goals are basically life goals that require funding. You need money to fund those things. And then a strategy is then you use that strategy to achieve that financial goal. But I think a lot of people often when they look at money, they start straight away from the strategy. Like I want to, X amount of portfolio by this amount of time. So that means that's like basically setting money as the destination, not the vehicle. So we want to make sure that we're using money, as a vehicle, as a tool, not as the end goal.
Yeah, yeah. So that what you're talking about there would be along the lines of I'd like to take a world trip next year and I'd like to do that on business class, flying business class, and I'd like to stay in 4-star hotels. And then I put together a budget for that and say, well, this is how much money I'm going to need to spend on that, plus a little bit of spending money and other stuff I might want to do. And so then the goal is the trip and the associated experiences. And then you go back to the money side and say, well, here's how much money I'm going to need to be able to do that. And then you build a strategy. Is that how you see it?
Yeah, so that is definitely one of the key parts of, saving. If traveling is something that you it's really important to you. But then we go back to another step. So, why is traveling really important to you? So and is this goal as well creating any friction with other areas of your life? So it's looking at a much more deeper and holistic view of how you're coming up with this financial goal. So so that's basically we look into also your values, your deeper values, and see if there's any unhealthy money beliefs around that as well. Because if someone is actually setting those goals and spending on credit card every year without thinking about the consequences, then there may be more things to than just setting that goal. I guess the answer to that is it's hard to really answer that question unless we look at it in a much more holistic way.
Mm-hmm. So is that the main difference between a financial wellness coach as compared to an advisor? So I guess, my experience of advisors are that they will sit down with you and they will look at goals and they will talk about life goals as well. So, are you looking to buy or sell property? Are you looking to acquire cars, for example, as a big spend item? Are you looking to travel? So they tend to look at the big spend items and then say, okay, let's put together a plan going forward. And they certainly will recommend products based on that plan then. So that's the financial advisor. So what are some of the other key differences? You've kind of talked about going to a higher purpose rather than just focusing on, say, the trip or the property.
Yeah.
What are some of the other differences that a financial wellness coach provides?
So like you said, there is this higher purpose or a more holistic approach towards your finances. So it's just not about the numbers and strategies or just the product recommendations. Certainly there's no commissions involved either as a financial wellness coach as compared to a financial advisor. And usually with my process as a financial wellness coach, the process really starts with the biggest challenge that the client is experiencing. So in every single meeting that I have with clients, they bring the topic that they are struggling with the most in the context of finance. So for example, I had two clients that came on board that worked with me just 2 months ago. You know, initially when they came to me, they really had no clear direction of how they should handle their money, or they don't really have structure around their future, their finances and their future. So one of the things that we explored for, I guess I call John and Mary, Mary, she had this, she had this thing where she feels like, in terms of her earning capacity, wherever she positions her program, she don't feel as confident as she should when she's talking to clients. And this is important, and it's a part of financial wellness coaching as well, because how you earn money and how you feel about it is a part of your finance, because that's how your money is flowing in. So in our conversation, we basically get to talk about going deeper into why she's feeling that way, not being able to be confident to charge for what she thinks. And we found that there was a pattern where every time she's proposing the price, when it gets to the point to the price, she always thinks that her client don't have money. That thought just comes naturally into her head. So it took a while for us to get more and more deeper in, and to find that that was the cause. And once she realized that, and I asked questions like, how do you know? You know, she actually said, I don't know. So is that thought even relevant then? You know, is that belief even relevant? Should it even be around when you're, you know, speaking to clients? And that one thing basically shift her, you know, the way that she proposes, you know, her coaching programs to clients. And it just makes it so much more easier for her. So it's like one of the things is like really starting with the real challenges that a person is actually experiencing, and asking really good questions to uncover those unhealthy money beliefs, so that there is like more of those aha moments that's going to help you to transform the way you, you know, relate with money, think about money, and manage it.
Hmm. Yeah. So that's a really interesting example there with Jane, as you called her. So clearly she's a business owner. And one of the things that I always find, I mean, I personally find it challenging, but I find that most business owners find this challenging, is setting pricing for products or services. Mm. And I guess underneath that challenge is always that thought as to, will my customer be able to afford it? So you are actually making that assumption, you know, they don't have enough money for this, rather than thinking about, you know, what value does this bring to my client, and what value does it represent to them, which is kind of, when you think about it, money is that, isn't it? It's something that represents value. Mm. So if you've got a service, you know, what value does the service represent to the person? And so therefore the money equation comes out of that.
That's right.
So do you have any any kind of recommendations there in terms of addressing that mindset in a business owner?
Yeah. So I think first of all, Hergen, I think you brought a really good point there. Like, you know, value, that's important. And I want to just broaden that perspective even a little bit more. Because to really master money, we first need to go back to actually what was money really, why does it exist in the really first place? You know, if we want to master money as a tool and charge for our value, well, what is money at the first place? And money really is a medium of exchange. It's a medium of exchange that was created 6,000 years ago. And it started with a form of barley. So people were trading barley. Instead of doing barter trading, they were counting barleys to pay for goods. And that is basically it. It's a convenient way of exchanging goods, skills. And if you truly realize that and let that in, then you know that, you know, charging a price, fixing a price is really, you know, a little bit like a play. So you find out the skills that you're good at, the more problems you can solve for a person that they value, you know, they'll pay more for it. And that's it. It's really that simple.
Okay. So what are some of the other limiting beliefs or you know, attitudes that you come across quite regularly in people dealing with money things?
Yeah. There is also some that are, for example, this is a common one as well. I have clients sometimes that come to me often. I had this client, let's call him John. He came to me again a few months ago, and he told me in my first session that, you know, what I want is financial freedom as a goal, as financial freedom. So now the thing is, you know, with financial freedom, there is no problem with that, but just think for a second, you know, if you want to set a goal as having financial freedom, guess what happens?
Well, I mean, my first thought is what does financial freedom actually mean? You know, freedom of what? And it's an away from motivation as well. So you're always looking back at what you, where you're coming from. So yeah, it's kind of, it's negative energy in a way, isn't it?
Yeah, right on, Hergen. And financial freedom, if you aim that as a goal, because it's so vague, and also it's used as a more of a marketing strategy by most of the, you know, financial services, you know, financial products, it creates a sense of lack straight away.
Yeah.
You know, if you're aiming for financial freedom in the future, it creates that sense of lack. So, you know, the better thing to really aim for is like freedom to make choice with financial resources you have now, or any resources you have now. How do you amplify that and make the most out of it? And then getting clear, again, going back to, you know, definitions of things that you truly value in life, because the, you know, if you're clear about those things, then you can actually spend more time and more resources to have more of those things in your life. And then, you know, you don't need to be motivated to achieve your financial goals, because it's something that you value all the time. So motivation even becomes, you know, almost irrelevant.
So do you, when you work with people, let's take that example. So you work on the values level, and you work on identifying what the underlying values are and maybe make some tweaks there.
Yep. So values is the second part, but the first part is, most importantly, is the unhealthy money beliefs. So the blind spots. So blind spots, like unhealthy money beliefs, are a little bit like, They're a little bit like a pair of glasses, colored glasses. Let's say if you have a blue glasses, you put it on and you completely forgotten that you've put it on and you started to look at the world just in blue. It's been filtered, right? So it's not until like, you know, I go, hey, hang on a sec, that are you wearing why are you wearing that blue glasses? Like, what do you mean? What do you mean? I'm not, everything is fine. I can see well. And so, no, you're wearing this blue glass. And they take it out. It's like, oh, actually, I don't need this. Oh, this is much more easier now. So uncovering blind spots is a little bit like that. So the main work is, I think the key difference is in my coaching is to get that part first, that component. And it usually starts from, you know, the places where people find most tension or challenge in. And I guess another example that I would give is like just a few weeks ago, I had a client that had a first session, and you know, she was explaining her financial situation, and I found the pattern of her looking into the future, and she's constantly stressed, and that means she's doing one thing really well. If you're stressed about your finances, you're constantly looking into the future and looking at what's wrong, what's going to go wrong, right? And the more you do that, the more energy it consumes, and takes you away from, you know, making the right financial decisions now, and so that you can really progress and change your situation. And when I point that out to her the first time, then the second time it really landed for her. Yeah, she stopped. She stopped making up problems, and started to shift her perspective and really looking at things more objectively. You know, she's now being more aware. Now it's about bringing that into awareness for her. And then we get to start working on other different things that are, you know, more important, that's going to really help transform her financial situation.
Yeah. Yeah, I like the way that you kind of bring everything together and aligning values and beliefs and lifestyle goals around money. And to me, it's a little bit like, you know, the financial wellness aspect is a little bit like your health wellness. I mean, we all these days, we're all talking a lot about physical health, and we look at you know, doing exercise, being fit, eating well, regular visits to a GP to have all the appropriate health tests done. And, you know, in the financial area, I see that, you know, there's a bit of a metaphor there as well. That there is, of course, the triage bit where, you know, if we have a serious health issue, then that's got to be dealt with straight away. Mm. And that might be the same in financial situation. If we suddenly have a lot of debt or go bankrupt in the worst scenario, then clearly there's something needs to be done in a triage sense. But then the longer term thing about addressing beliefs, attitudes, and then building strategies to match the lifestyle is I think a really good way to approach it.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's the thing about life, isn't it, Hergen? Like if you start to experience some, you know, like your body, you know, it starts to give you signal before it gets to a really serious like crisis. It always gives you a little bit of signal here and there. You know, if you're not sleeping well, if you're not eating well, you haven't walked or exercised or, you know, do things to clear your mind, even for your mental well-being, like, if you continue to ignore it and it's really causing you stress, what happens is it accumulates and it comes in like one big hit. So, and I think this is just so important. Like financial well-being is so important because for anyone, and especially if you're running a business, if a lot of times so much energy is poured into the business, but you know, if we aren't able to manage our personal financial well-being well, it's really hard to then manage your business really well too. And if you do actually manage your personal financial wellness well, then it actually flows into other areas of your life.
Mm. And one of the examples you gave earlier, I think you talked about a couple as well, and I know, you know, both from personal and from other experience that I've seen. I mean, in the extreme case, you mentioned divorce there in one example. Mm. Relationships, money issues inside a relationship can have some pretty dramatic consequences if the two people are not in the same page, right?
Yeah.
And if there's different beliefs and attitudes to money, that often ends up they're not on the same page.
Yeah, absolutely. Couples are, you know, it's really interesting space. Couples, I coach a lot of couples. And like you said, often when couples come together, often it's like the yin and yang, you know, one person has a different perspective or maybe more organized and the other person is much more laid back and easygoing. So how do you actually come together to then actually manage your finance as well? So in the couples coaching context, then it's firstly, work on yourself individually. So they are instead of, you know, we start the process by saying this way is better, that way are better. It's not, there's no best way, you know, it's just different ways. So, but when one couple or one person, any person, even if you're not in a couple, if you're too fixated on doing certain things one way, in all areas of your life, you find that it will create tension for you. So just an example before I gave you, like one of my clients that she looks in the future and constantly looks for things that were going wrong, and that created a lot of stress for her. But actually, that is a really, really important skill for people that are good at spotting problems. You know, in businesses, if you want to hire a risk manager, you want someone like that, you know, they'll be able to look into the future and be able to see all the potential risk and go, okay, this is the less riskier route, or this is major issue, we need to fix it now. So that's an important skill. But if you hold that for every single, you know, aspect of your life, you find very quickly you get into a really stressful mode. So it's for couples is to individually work on things that you may be struggling with, and then coming together to find common grounds.
Yeah, that's definitely a challenging area. And I guess if you look at business, there's a lot of businesses that are partnerships. So the same would apply to the business. And also, you know, there might be businesses which are, have a larger board that makes a consensus decision. So you find the same thing there, right?
Correct. Yeah. And often you find like CEOs would have, you know, broad vision, and they are so much more future and goal orientated, looking at bigger picture. And then like you get on the side, maybe the CFO is someone that is much more into the detail, the financials. And then you have that risk manager that is, you know, looking at, you know, the, like what I said before, all the things that could go wrong. So everyone has quite different views. And so, yeah, how, in each person individually will need to, you know, have that capacity to be flexible in your perspective, way more holistic, so that they don't have to have one set way of doing things, but able to incorporate everyone else.
So again, then it comes back to kind of the core beliefs, but at a higher level, because certainly in a business sense, there might be a business purpose and a mission.
Correct.
That the business is on about. So you focus kind of on that first, and as you say, bring that flexibility in terms of what actions could be taken and how to then create value that allows us to fulfill that vision.
Yeah, that's right, Hergen.
All right, well, this is fascinating, Vivian. I could dig into this a lot more, particularly the mindset stuff I find fascinating, and, you know, the idea that, I mean, if we think back, money, the bits of paper and the coins that we've had, you said 6,000 years, but I think, you know, even more recently than that, people were trading gold and precious metals rather than actual money, so that it's really just an item of value, and the bits of paper that have a number written on it is just something that designates a particular value, doesn't it? So the mindset around giving that much more importance is a little bit self-defeating, isn't it, in terms of getting more of that value?
Yeah, I know, because now it's like more of the value. It's not even a thing now. It's a number on the screen.
That's right. Yeah, we just touch our phone on a device. Yeah. And with Bitcoin, it's going to be even different again.
Yes. That's the beauty about human evolution and our inventions. It's going to be, you know, more and more subtle.
All right, so I think this is a good time to move on to the buzz, which is our innovation round, and it's designed to help our audience who are primarily innovators and leaders in their field with some tips from your experience. So I've got five questions, and hopefully you'll give us some really insightful answers that will inspire the listener to go and do something awesome today.
Yeah, definitely. Let's do that.
So what's the number one thing you think anyone needs to do to be more innovative?
Yeah, I think the number one thing, it's really, if there is any stress you're experiencing in your life, is to get that out of the way as soon as possible. Find ways to resolve it straight away, because if you're experiencing any tension, stress in your relationship, finances, or you know, any other areas of your life, it really sucks up your energy to allow you to be innovative. So get those problems out of the way first. Like, you know, go with what you find the most challenging at the moment and go straight on.
Yeah. And I'm guessing that you'd recommend dealing with the root cause of the stress rather than just easing some symptoms for a while.
Yeah, it's so important, getting to the root cause, because once you get to the root cause, you know, it's something that you don't have to constantly patch up again and again, or you don't have to keep motivating yourself to be innovative for, you know, whatever that is. It starts to become so much more natural.
All right, great. Well, what's the best thing you've done to develop new ideas?
For me, one of the most, you know, the best thing I've ever done is my daily routine in meditating. So from that space of stillness and silence, that's where I'm able to really listen and look for patterns that's happening in the market or in my coaching conversations with clients.
So how long have you been doing that routine for?
For 5 years.
Okay. Interesting. All right. Now, what's a favorite resource you have that you use most often?
This one is an interesting question, Hergen. I'll have to say, like, you know, my favorite tool is still, or system, I would still say that it's, you know, my capacity to really look for patterns and then, you know, kind of see what's really going on in the market, and then allow the creativity and innovation, whatever, you know, whatever needs to come up as an answer to kind of reveal itself, because I don't really have to think a lot. It's being innovative is about being in tune with what's going on and then creating something that is, you know, valuable. So, yeah, I would say still the ability to be able to look for patterns.
Hmm. Okay, that's fascinating. Did you, is that something you've cultivated and taught yourself over time, or is just something that's come naturally for you?
Yeah, both actually. as I cultivate and spend more time, I guess, learning to listen really well, or look at things in a more holistic way. Yeah, patterns start to reveal. So the more I do it, the better I get at it as well. So then it starts to look like it's natural.
So listening and asking good questions is very important. Then you mentioned asking good questions earlier.
Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah.
All right. Well, now what's the best way to keep a client on track?
Yep. So the best thing to do to keep a client on track, I think I would have mentioned this before, but I think I couldn't mention enough because it's really important. It's I would say great questions and coaching conversations to uncover what they really truly want, you know. Giving them more aha moments and realization, and that's gonna help them to stay on track, because you know the plan or the what we're about to do, the action plan and all that, it's actually all coming from them. I'm drawing all this answer for them, so they don't need to feel motivated to do it. It's something that they truly want, so there's more energy and momentum in the process.
Yeah, that's great advice, isn't it? If you can get the client to build their own plan forward, then the motivation is very strong.
That's right. So it's not so much of me giving advice or just mentoring them or anything like that. It's, they come up with their own answers.
All right, great. Now, what's the number one thing anyone can do to differentiate themselves?
Yeah. Great question. I think firstly it's to really, really look inwards, you know, into yourself first, and get to learn more about yourself and what your strengths are and what comes naturally to you, what you enjoy. Because to differentiate yourself just, you know, as a once-off thing, it's easy. You just need to create a lot of noise. And you know, but if you want to differentiate yourself in a way that's going to be sustainable in the long run and, you know, be a leader in whatever you're doing in the market, it's to really look inwards and know yourself well.
Yeah, that's great advice. So, I mean, there is a lot of noise out there, so I think the one-off noise making strategy probably isn't all that effective, but the, you know, having a really clear knowledge of yourself, your strengths, your shortcomings as well, and particularly you mentioned something there that I think is really important as part of that, as well as what you really enjoy doing. And if you combine all those things and give it your unique flavor, that will really differentiate you.
Yeah. Well said, Hergen.
All right. Well, thanks, Vivian. This has been really great. Now, where can people find out more about you and maybe even reach out and get in touch?
Yeah, definitely. So if you want to get in touch, or if you want to work one-on-one with me, you can either connect with me on Insta. That's Simple Wealth Coaching. So on Instagram, Simple Wealth Coaching. You can go to my website, simplewealthcoaching.com.au. Or you can connect with me on LinkedIn with my personal profile, Vivian Go.
All right, that's great. And we'll have links to all of those in the show notes so that people can just click straight through. So what's on the horizon for your future? What are you working on right now?
Yeah, because at the moment with my business, it's a lot of one-on-one coaching or couples coaching. I'm also doing a lot of financial well-being workshops. And I think in the future, what I'm planning to do is to also offer financial wellness programs to businesses so that they can, you know, bring me in and do group coaching sessions to improve their employees' financial well-being. So that is something that I'm working on in the future. And I think, like, you know, I just imagine, like, if you're an employer, if you can, you know, tell your new employee, you know, if you join our company, one of the things that we would ensure will help you with is to make sure that you're financially, you know, stable or financially well. We look after your financial well-being. So that way you don't really have to worry too much if you anything unexpected happens. You already have a plan in place to deal with all those things. So I think that would be such a great promise to employers to give to employees. You know, if they you genuinely care about the well-being of your employees, that would be a good program to have.
Yeah, yeah. And again, it comes back to what we were saying earlier about comparing it to a health wellness program. I mean, a lot of companies now are doing that in the health area, in physical health and well-being area. So to add a financial wellness program to that as well would be very good.
Oh, that would be really, really good and important too, because one of the things I think I haven't shared, Hergen, was there's been research by the Australian Psychological Society around stress and well-being of Australians. And it's showing that 49% of people that they survey experience stress around your finances. Mm. And it's the number one cause of stress. Mm. In Australia. And in America, they did something similar. So if there's any American audience here, it's closer to 80% in America. Wow. So I think it's a space where it's such a taboo topic. Like people, we don't really know how to deal with the money conversation with employees, but it is really, really important you know, start to put some action plan in place to support employees a little bit better.
Hmm. All right. Well, that's terrific. So we'll watch out for that and see how you go with that. Look forward to hearing some more. So what's the number one parting bit of advice you'd like to give our listener, so particularly a business owner that wants to be a leader in their field and a leader in innovation?
Yep. So to be a leader, what's important about a leader is the being able to continuously leading. So it's like a continuous movement. You continuously lead in the industry, and that means it needs to be sustainable. And I think I point to what's this point before is, you know, being able to look at things look into the market, look into what's really truly going on in the society. What's the real problem that requires solving, and solve that. And if you can do that continuously, then you become a leader in the field that you're in.
Hmm. Yeah, that's great. I like the idea, look for problems that require solving and solve them.
Yeah. That's what people will pay you for.
Lots of value in that, isn't it?
Yeah, exactly.
All right. Well, finally then, Vivian, who would you like me to chat with on a future InnovaBuzz podcast and why?
Yeah, there's so many, but I think I would recommend Christina Cantors from Australian Podcast Services. She's a communications coach. And I think there is a lot that the audience can actually learn from her in terms of being able to communicate effectively.
Okay. Well, we'll get an introduction from you to Christina, and we look forward to chatting with her too, because she sounds fascinating.
Yeah. Yeah, she is. I'm sure you guys will enjoy.
All right. Well, thanks so much for sharing your time and insights with us so generously today, Vivian. I've really enjoyed this. So there's been a lot we've touched on in terms of money and mindset and beliefs around money and how really it's just a kind of a means for exchanging value. And if we bring it back to that, then a lot of limiting beliefs that we might have, maybe we'll find it easier to drop those and have better beliefs. So thanks again for sharing all that with us. And I wish you all the best for the future, and let's keep in touch.
Yeah, let's do that, Hogan. Thank you so much.
Thanks. I hope you enjoyed that insightful and informative conversation with Vivian and took something away from her episode. I love the idea of financial wellness as a concept, just like health wellness. And of course, that financial wellness takes the focus from money to what your life goals are and how you can support them financially. I'd love to know what you took away from Vivian's episode. Leave a comment below the blog post, which you can find at innovabiz.co/VivianGo. That is VIVIANGOH, all lowercase, all one word, innovabiz.co/VivianGo. You'll also find contact information for getting in touch with Vivian there, as well as links to the Simple Wealth Coaching website, her social media pages, and the other resources we spoke about in today's conversation. Vivian suggested that we have a conversation with Christina Canters of Podcast Services Australia on a future InnovaBuzz podcast. So, Christina, keep an eye on your inbox for an invitation from us to the InnovaBuzz podcast courtesy of Vivian Go. Remember to check out our Marketing Master mini class at innovabiz.co/marketingmaster. It's completely free and accessible without even giving away your email. But most importantly, in less than 30 minutes, you'll gain absolute clarity about who your ideal client is and how you can communicate with them to build and strengthen an engaging, enduring relationship. And if you'd like our help to go even deeper into marketing mastery, or if you'd like our help with setting up your own podcast or producing a podcast, then send me an email to jurgen@innovabiz.co and we'll set up a quick call just to have a conversation and find out if we're a good fit for one another. Tune in again next week to the InnovaBuzz podcast. We've got some more fantastic guests lined up, including Sarah Anderson of Visibility Co. and Steve Sims, the author of Bluefishing. Stay connected with us by subscribing to the InnovaBuzz podcast at innovabuzz.com/subscribe, innovabuzz.com/subscribe. Make sure you never miss another episode. It would also mean a lot to me if you leave us a review, because what you think matters. I'd love to hear your thoughts, your ideas, your suggestions, or questions you have, so go ahead and share them in the comments below the blog post for this episode. Until next time, I'm Jurgen Strauss from InnovaBiz. Remember, be awesome and keep innovating.